when I was a boy, a faith-healing evangelist from Oklahoma became enormously popular.
当我还是个孩子的时候，当时在奥克哈马有一个是医治，叫做信心医治的传道人，变得非常有名。
He was one of the first to stress what has become known as the health wealth gospel.
那后来有一种叫做健康和财富福音这种运动，那这位呢就是最初的推手之一。
This is a blend of the Bible and American materialism.
他们把美国的物质主义很特别的调和到，或者是说掺杂到圣经的里边。
The idea is that the cross of Jesus not only saves us, but secures victory over disease.
他基本的思想是，耶稣的十字架不光光是拯救了我们，而且他保证我们能够战胜任何疾病。
It even ensures believers a high standard of living.
它甚至可以保证所有的跟随的人有一种比较高级的生活。
You could claim healing from your illness.
你可以宣告从疾病而得医治。
And if you're not healed, it's because you didn't have enough faith.
那如果你没有得医治的话，说明你信心不够。
Or perhaps it was because you didn't plant the seed of your faith by giving an offering to the organization.
或者说是因为你没有向这个机构捐款，以至于来通过向这个机构捐款可以播下这种叫做信心的种子。
I've heard him say that if you're not driving a Cadillac, it's because you don't have enough faith.
我曾经听他说，如果你还没有开上一辆卡迪拉克，说明你的信心还不足。
Well, the health wealth gospel certainly worked for his organization.
那当然，这种健康财富的福音对他的机构是非常有好处的。
It became a media giant for its day.
他的机构成为当时一个传媒的巨人。
He used radio, television, the printed page, and mass meetings very effectively.
他非常有效地使用这个广播电视、印刷品和大型的聚会。
We used to get his magazine called The Abundant Life.
我们经常也看到他的杂志，他名字就叫《丰盛的生命》。
Perhaps some good was done, but there was much hurt and disillusionment.
那也许在里边有一些好的，但是更多的是伤害和幻灭。
Perhaps the worst result was all those who copied him.
那也许最糟糕的事情是有很多的人后来就复制他的作为。
The health wealth gospel can still be heard today.
所以甚至在今天仍然你会听到这样的信息是跟这个健康财富福音有关系的。
Now I bring all this up because of the theme verse that you've chosen for the new year.
那我今天讲的这些是因为你们教会今年的经文主题。
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life more abundantly.
那里说到，盗贼来，无非是偷窃、杀害、毁坏。我来了，是要羊得生命，并且得的更丰盛。
It is important that we approach this text realizing how potently the era of the health wealth gospel has attached to this verse.
那当我们来到这节经文面前的时候，我们要非常清醒地看到这种这个叫做健康财富福音，它的错误是如何，这个巨大错误是如何把它自己跟这段经文绑在一起的。
My purpose today is to help us understand this verse the way it was understood in its original setting.
那我今天的目的是要跟大家一起来明白这段经文。是按照他最初的旨意来明白他。
It was not originally written to Americans in a post-war boom economy.
当然，他最初的原始的并不是写给美国人，是在这种战后经济繁荣时期的美国人的。
It was written for Christians in Asia Minor about to experience the first wave of official persecution from the Roman Empire.
他是写给当时在小亚细亚的教会，而那个教会当时正面临来自罗马政府不断增长的逼迫。
Much of John's gospel is quite different from the other three.
约翰福音里面很多内容跟其他的三卷福音书是有所不同的。
John is the last of the 12 apostles still alive near the end of the first century.
约翰是十二个使徒当中最后一个活到第一世纪末的人。
He's facing growing opposition from the government.
他面对越来越严重从政府而来的反对。
There are also false teachers from new religions.
也当时有一些新兴的宗教起来里边有假教师。
These tried to incorporate ideas from Judaism, Christianity, paganism, and Greek philosophy.
那这些假教师试图把犹太教、基督教、异教，甚至是希腊哲学融合在一起。
The Holy Spirit brings to John's remembrance a number of teachings and encounters with Jesus that are relevant to these new challenges.
所以圣灵就带领约翰回到耶稣当时的很多的教导和他跟耶稣在一起的时候很多的事情来跟 这些教导是跟他所面临的挑战有关系的。
The church facing persecution is John's first audience.
那这个约翰福音的第一批读者或者第一批听众是当时面对逼迫的教会。
But there's another audience.
然而还有另外一批听众。
It was Jesus' audience in Jerusalem when these events took place about 50 years earlier.
那是发生在耶路撒冷，大概在约翰福音写成50年之前，耶稣的时代，他在耶路撒冷面临相似的反对的时候，那一批听众。
It was composed of the disciples and primarily the scribes and Pharisees.
那些听众里边有他的门徒，也有当时的圣经学者和法利赛人。
These were the Jewish authorities, shepherds, if you will, who mostly opposed him.
那这些人，这些后者，就是这些圣经学者和法利赛人，你也可以称他们当时，他们是犹太人的这些领袖，你也可以称他们为牧人，但是他们基本是反对耶稣的。
Any reference to the abundant life must be seen in these two contexts.
所以任何时候，当我们来看丰盛的生命，我们必须要注意到这两段的上下文。
It's not a promise of an easy, carefree, prosperous life.
他讲到的并不是一种无忧无虑、繁荣昌盛的生活。
It's not a promise that we'll never be touched by sorrow or deprivation.
他也不是讲到我们的生活就永远不会有悲伤或者是贫乏。
It's not a life free of opposition, pressure, or danger.
也不是讲到一个生活没有反对没有压力没有危险
Even the immediate context denies such a notion
那其实在这段经文里边它的上下文已经否认了这种错误的理解
It is after all a life that's guaranteed by the death of the good shepherd
那这种丰盛的生命实际上是以好牧人的死作为保证的
There are thieves and robbers careless hired hands and wolves in the parable
在这个比喻里边也有盗贼有雇工也有狼
In other words there's a good deal of the unexpected the uncertain the insecure and the volatile
那用另外一句话说就是这里面充满了你所不想看到的充满了不确定性也充满了危险和不稳定因素
It reminds me of one of the last things that Jesus told his disciples just before his arrest
这让我想起在耶稣在被捕之前他最后跟门徒讲了一段话
I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace in the world you will have tribulation but take heart I have overcome the world
我告诉你们这些是要让你们在我里边有平安在世上你们有苦难但是你们要请你们放心我已经胜了这世界
Friends, the abundant life is not accepting Christ so you can have a ticket to an imaginary gravy train all the way to heaven.
所以朋友们相信耶稣得生命并不是说你就买到了一张票可以坐着花轿上天堂。
The abundant life is walking with the good shepherd.
丰盛的生命是与我们的好牧人同行的生命。
And the Bible gives us pictures of what that may look like.
那圣经呢，给了我们很多的画面，让我们看这种丰盛的生命应该是什么样子。
It is first of all a picture of preservation. We see this in verses 10 to 12.
那首先在 第十节到十二节我们看到的这个画面是一幅保护的画面。
This is obvious in the whole concept of shepherd.
那首先这个是通过牧人这个词所带出的含义。
And it's made more specific when Jesus contrasts himself with thieves and hired hands.
那他的意思就变得更具体，尤其是当耶稣把他自己跟盗贼和雇工做比较的时候。
They represent a danger to the sheep because both are in it for what they can get out of the sheep.
那后者实际上对羊来讲是危险的，因为他们所想要的是从羊群攫取他们所需要的。
The thief will rob and kill either for food or profit.
那盗贼呢，他们会杀害或者是偷盗羊群是为了食物或者是利益的缘故。
The hired hand just wants his paycheck.
那雇工只对他们的工价感兴趣。
He'll run away in the face of danger or hardship.
当面临危险和难处的时候他们就逃跑了。
In either case, it's the sheep who suffer.
那在任何一种情况下受罪的是羊自己。
Many commentators like to take us to the 23rd Psalm as a background for this text.
那很多的圣经学者就把我们带到诗篇的23篇作为这一段的旧约里边的背景。
But for the first part of verse 10, the real Old Testament background is passages like Ezekiel 34 verses 8 to 10 addressed to the leaders of the nation.
但是真实的旧约的背景跟这一段有关系的，尤其是讲到第十节的前半段，实际上是像以西结书34章里边那样，那一些经文针对的是当时国家里边这些带领的人。
As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, no longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I'll rescue the sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them.
以西结书34章第8节说，耶和华说，我指着我的永生起誓，我的羊因无牧人就成为掠物，也做了一切野兽的食物，因为我的牧人不寻找我的羊。但是后面说，牧人也不再牧养自己，我必救我的羊脱离他们的口，不再做他们的食物。
Ezekiel follows with a prophecy of the coming Messiah who will come and gather his scattered sheep to himself.
那随后以西结就讲到预言了这位弥赛亚的到来，这个弥赛亚会招聚他失散的羊群到他自己的身边。
But note whether in Ezekiel or here,God's concern is for the sheep.
我们必须要清楚的是，在这里神所关心的是羊。
In one of the great pivot points in the Bible, Jesus says, "But I am come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep."
圣经里面有很多伟大的章节，其中一处就是耶稣这里说的：“我来了是要羊得生命。”并且得得更丰盛。他说，我是好牧人，好牧人为羊舍命。
Now we can all agree that a shepherd who owns the sheep may take more risks than a hired hand.
那我们都同意，如果一个牧人他拥有他的羊群的时候，他是羊群的主人的时候，他会比雇工更愿意为羊群承担更多的责任。
But what shepherd will actually die to prevent the death of sheep?
但是有哪一位牧人会为他的羊而去死呢？
Is Jesus exaggerating to make a point?
那这里是不是耶稣在用一种夸张的手法来说明这个问题呢？
Well, it's a fair question, and Jesus anticipates it.
那提出这样的问题并不奇怪，其实耶稣也知道人们会有这样的问题。
What kind of shepherd gives his life for the sheep?
那什么样的牧人会为他的羊舍命呢？
The kind that can take it up again.
那只有一种牧人是能够把他自己的命再拿回来。
All four Gospels show Jesus predicting his death and resurrection.
所有的四卷福音书都讲到耶稣预言了他的死亡和复活。
He does so privately with his disciples and as here publicly to his enemies.
他曾经暗暗地跟自己的门徒预言这件事情，他也在此处在敌人面前公开的预言这件事情。
it is always important to remind ourselves that when Jesus died on the cross, it was not the triumph of evil men and demons.
那我们必须时时提醒自己，我们知道当耶稣在十字架上受死的时候，那个时候并不是说恶人或者是撒旦得胜了。
It was not the world finally out of control of a dying God.
也不是说神不在了，整个世界就失去了控制。
They did not take Jesus' life that day. Jesus gave it.
那一天并不是他们把耶稣的生命拿走了，是耶稣自己把生命赐给人。
This is a key point in the Gospel of John.
这在约翰福音里边是一个重点。
God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only son.
父神爱世人，所以把自己的独生爱子赐给他们。
God the Son so loved the sheep that he lays down his life for them.
而子神呢，爱羊群，以至于为羊舍命。
This is the plan that was predicted by the prophets.
这就是在旧约里面所有先知所预言的这样神的一个计划。
This is the plan that the Trinity devised from all eternity past.
这也是在三位一体的真神所从创世的起初就设计的一个计划。
Jesus says, I came that they may have life.
耶稣说，我来了是要羊得生命。
What gives the sheep life?
是什么可以让羊得生命呢？
The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
那圣经上讲，世人都犯了罪，亏缺了神的荣耀。
The wages of that sin is death.
并且罪的工价乃是死。
So God sent His perfect, sinless Son into the world to give His life for sinful humanity.
所以神差遣他的独生爱子是无罪的、完全的，到世界上是为了犯罪的人。
That means to die in their place.
那意思就是说，他死是站在罪人的地位上死。
On the cross, Jesus received the wages of sin for all who would believe in him.
那在十字架上，耶稣为所有信他的人付上了罪的代价。
Trusting this is what gives us life.
如果相信这些，我们就得到生命。
If we go into eternity while still carrying our own sins, it will mean eternal separation from God.
如果我们仍然带着我们自己的罪进入永恒，那就意味着我们跟神永远的分离。
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from a Christless eternity.
所以我们要相信主耶稣，可以让我们从黑暗中得拯救。
Receiving life by trusting in Jesus preserves us from God's judgment on our sin.
相信耶稣就可以让我们逃离躲避，或者是说让我们可以免于神对罪的审判。
One more thing about this preservation.
那关于保护，还有一件事情要讲。
On the one hand, it is very personal.
在一方面，它是个人性的。
Sheep are individually given life through their relationship with the shepherd.
那羊呢，是从这个好牧人，根据好牧人的关系，一个一个的自己得到生命。
But while personal, this preservation works in connection with the flock.
啊，虽然是个人性的，但是这个保护却是跟羊群连在一起的。
We see this in verse 12.
那我们在十二节看到这一点。
The sheep are most vulnerable when they are leaderless and scattered.
那羊群当他们被分散、没有带领的时候，是最脆弱的时候。
That's why the fellowship of the church is so important.
这也是为什么在教会里边团契是如此的重要。
Jesus suffered alone for us so that he could gather us into assemblies to be shepherded by his word and his spirit and those gifted to lead.
耶稣独自承受苦难，以至于他可以把我们召聚到他的面前，让我们可以通过他的道、他的灵和有恩赐的带领者来牧养我们。
It should be our regular prayer that the Lord will strengthen his flock.And preserve it from a spirit of individualism.
所以这应该成为我们经常的祷告，让主可以坚固他的羊群，而且让我们免于个人主义的试探。
And the abundant life is first of all a picture of preservation and now sufficiency.
那首先当然我们刚才讲到关于丰盛的生命，它第一幅的画面让我们看到的是保护，然后我们再看另外一幅画面是充足。
The abundant life of scripture is above all a contented life.
那圣经上所讲的丰盛的生命是超越一切自满自足的生命。
This contentment is not from the introspection of Eastern mysticism.
这种喜乐不是从所谓东方的神秘主义的冥想或者内省中间得来的。
Nor is it a joy stemming almost entirely from membership in the happy, contented, respectable classes, as one author puts it.
它也不是说因为我们如果能够加入，好像是加入一个阶层，那个阶层是一个幸福的被尊重的生活，我们成为一员就能够得这样的喜乐，也不是这样的。
This contentment comes from a personal, deepening relationship with the Good Shepherd.
那这种丰盛的生命是从我们跟好牧人一种近身的个人的关系而来的。
It comes from the growing confidence that the Lord is equal to every emergency.
它是从我们对神的信心不断增长的信心，我们知道主是能够胜过一切急难的环境。
It believes and it lives the scripture that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
这种生命是相信并且活出圣经上所讲的说，耶和华是我的牧者，我必不致缺乏。
The concept built into the word abundant is that of sufficiency.
那当然在丰盛这个词里边，所它含有的一个意义就是充足。
Even the English word comes from a Latin expression which describes the constant ocean, movement of ocean waves.
这个词从这个拉丁文里边，英文的这个丰盛这个词是从拉丁文来的，而拉丁文的意思描述的是海浪的涌动。
It is the picture of unceasing sufficiency.
它让我们看到的一个画面是一种永不停止的充足。
The abundant life starts with the knowledge that God's grace is more than sufficient.
这种丰盛的生命是我们首先要认识，要知道神的恩典是够我们用的。
Even the Apostle Paul had to grow in this idea.
那甚至使徒保罗也认同这个思想。
He'd been the instrument of so much ministry.
那保罗在很多的事工里边，他都是非常重要的器皿。
Yet he found himself with an affliction that really hindered him.
但是他发现他身上有一根刺啊，成为他的阻拦。
Three times he asked the Lord to deliver him.
他曾经三次求主挪去这个刺。
The Lord answered his earnest prayers with no.
但是神对他这种非常诚心的祷告的回应是不。
Instead,He received a revelation and a promise.
但是他从主的回应中得到了一个启示和一个应许。
The revelation, my grace is sufficient for you.
这个启示就是我的恩典够你用。
The promise, my power is made perfect in weakness.
那个应许呢，是我的能力在人的软弱上显得完全。
What does Paul go on to say?
那保罗接下来又说什么了呢？
For the sake of Christ then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
保罗说，我为基督的缘故，就以软弱、凌辱、急难、逼迫、困苦为可喜乐的，因为我什么时候软弱，什么时候就刚强了。
Friends, the abundant life does not consist in the material things we own.
朋友们，丰盛的生命不在于我们所拥有的物质财富。
It consists in the Lord as the source, support, and end of all things, and our personal relationship to Him.
它在于主是一切的源头，主是我们的扶持，主是也是万物的结局。它在于我们跟好牧人的关系。
When we look at the Greek word that is used for abundant in our text, we find that is a mathematical word.
当我们在看这种这个希腊文丰盛这个词的时候，我们发现它有数学上的含义。
It denotes surplus.
它里边表述了一种剩余的意思。
It's used in Matthew 14 for the 12 baskets of food left over from the feeding of the multitude.
它也用在马太福音十四章讲到耶稣的神迹让五千人吃饱的时候，剩下了十二篮子的食物。
Perhaps another time we can survey this word to see the range of meanings associated with God's supply.
也许我们可以再找一个时间来一起看这个词，它所带出来的含义是跟神丰富的供应有关系的。
But for today, I only want to look at one of these in Ephesians 3.
但是今天呢，我只想跟大家一起看一点，这一点在以弗所书的第三章。
It speaks about the character of our good shepherd.
那里讲到我们好牧人的性情。
Paul prays that believers will know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
那里保罗祷告说，希望我们知道基督的爱是过于人所能测度的，叫神一切所充满的充满了我们。
And then he lifts up God's character to them.
然后他就把神的性情表明给他们。
Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us.
他说，神能照着运行在我们心里的大能大力，充充足足地成就一切，超过我们所求所想的。
The key to the abundant life of contentment is going deeper into the love of God through Jesus Christ the Lord.
所以要过一个丰盛的生活的要点是跟借着神就着耶稣基督对我们表达出来的爱，跟我们的牧人有一个更近身的关系。
And note that this abundant provision is built into his character according to the power at work within us.
我们也知道这种丰盛是因着神的性情，他要借着他的能力，借在我们心里所运行的大能大力。
Chapter 1 tells us what that power is.
那第一章，以弗所书第一章告诉我们那个能力是什么。
It is his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead.
那里说是照着他在基督身上所运行的大能大力，使他从死里复活。
So here's the question.
所以我问大家一个问题。
What problem do I have that is greater than the problem that God had when he raised Christ from the dead?
那我有什么难处或者有什么问题是大过神把主从死里复活这件事情的能力呢？
Are you going deeper into the love of the good shepherd so that you can confidently draw from our heavenly father?
那你有没有跟神跟我们的好牧人有一个更近身的关系，以至于我们可以从神不断地支取他的供应呢？
Yes, life in this world can be filled with a good deal of the unexpected, the uncertain, the insecure, and the volatile.
那当然在这个世界上的生活是充满了我们所不想看到的，充满了不确定性，还有不安全甚至是不稳定的因素。
And our good shepherd can answer in a way that is more than we can ask or think.
但是我们的好牧人却可以回应我们的祷告，超过我们所求所想的。
The abundant life is a picture of preservation and sufficiency.
所以丰盛的生命给我们看到的图画，一个是保护，一个是充足。
It is also a picture of consolation.
那它也让我们看到一个画面是安慰。
We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 to 6.
那我们这一点我们可以从哥林多后书第一章3到6节来看。
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort in which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too.
那里讲到，愿颂赞归于我们的主耶稣基督父，主耶稣基督的父神，就是发慈悲的父，赐各样安慰的神。我们在一切患难中，他就安慰我们，叫我们能用神所赐的安慰去安慰呢遭各样患难的人。我们既多受基督的苦楚，就靠基督多得安慰。
Paul is writing this as many as 20 years before John's Gospel is written.
那当保罗写这一段的时候，实际上是在约翰福音写成20多年之前。
Yet we have this perspective on the abundant life.
然而我们从中仍然能够看到对丰盛的生命同样的观念。
Hardly a life of material ease, the abundant life may well include the same opposition that Jesus suffered.
那丰盛的生命通常不是物质的财富，而是非常有可能是包含像耶稣所面临的那样的反对。
And many in the persecution of persecuted church across the world continue to know what this means.
那今天世界各地还有很多的教会，他们面临逼迫，我想他们是明白其中的意思。
Friends, please note that even if we experience trials.As a faithful follower of Jesus, those trials will be monitored by our faithful shepherd.
那朋友们，请记住，当我们作为耶稣的跟随者，我们有可能会面临很多的试炼。但是，当我们面临试炼的时候，这些试炼都在神的眼中。
And he will see to it that those trials make room for consolation.
那神会保证我们在这些试炼中，我们仍然能得安慰。
It says we share abundantly in comfort too.
那里也讲到说我们跟其他遭遇患难的人同得安慰。
I must point out once again that this is not a promise to encourage individualism.
我想再说一次，这里没有任何的应许说是要鼓励个人主义。
The good shepherd gives us comfort so that it can be shared with others in any affliction.
我们的好牧人让我们得安慰，也让我们用我们所得的安慰去安慰遭各样患难的人。
In closing, I want to point out one more thing from 2 Corinthians 1.
当我们在结束的时候，我想再指出来一点，是在哥林多后书第一章。
I challenge you to read this chapter prayerfully later.
我希望你能够在稍后的时候自己去用祷告的心好好的读一读哥林多后书第一章。
Paul gets deeply serious about his situation.
那在这里保罗所面临的环境是非常严重的。
He was utterly burdened beyond his strength. He despaired of life itself.
那里说我们被压太重，力不能胜，甚至连活命的指望都绝了。
Paul never tells us what he was facing.
保罗从来没有告诉我们他面临的环境具体的是什么。
Scholars have tried to speculate about it.
那有些学者呢也试图猜测。
But all agree that the expressions here convey something intensely serious.
那所有的人都同意这里边的这个表述带出的意思是这种难处是极端极端的严重。
Yet notice what a life of trust in the good shepherd looks like.
但是我们从中也能看到一种信靠我们好牧人的生命。应该是一个什么样子的生命。
Paul says of those intense afflictions that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead.
保罗说当他面临那些难处的时候，是叫我们不靠自己，只靠叫死人复活的神。
He then testifies that the Lord delivered him and that the Lord will continue to do so.
然后他就做见证说主已经拯救了他，并且将来也继续拯救他。
But verse 11 is what I want you to see.
但是我想让大家看的是第十一节。
The clearest English translation of this says, You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many.
那刚才我们听到的是在英文的版本里边最清楚的一种翻译啊，我就用从英文直译过来，跟和合本也很接近。他说，所以你们必须一起以祷告帮助我们，好叫许多人为我们谢恩。他说因为我们因众人的祷告而蒙恩。
There's much to be said here about the mystery of prayer and its role in the way God's power works in our lives.
那关于祷告的能力，还有如何在祷告中能够体会，能领受神让这个从死里复活的大能，关于这些我们有很多可以讲的。
But today I only want to point out once again, this is a ministry of the sheep to one another and to the world beyond.
但今天我想强调的是，祷告是我们羊和羊之间的事工，也是我们在世界各地的事工不可或缺的。
Prayer is not an optional add-on for the spiritual elite.
祷告并不是额外加添在有一些所谓的属灵精英的人的。
It is not for the few who have the time or the interest.
祷告也不是专门为有时间的人或者是感兴趣的人而设立的。
If the Apostle Paul said, "You must help us by prayer," it's a vital core need.In every assembly of believers.
那如果即使像保罗这样的人都跟人说，说是你必须要为我们祷告，那么就证明祷告在所有的会众之间，在所有的聚会里边，都是一个非常重要的核心。
So Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you."
所以保罗劝勉我们说要常常喜乐不住的祷告凡事谢恩因为这是神在基督耶稣里向你们所定的旨意
Let's pray together
我们一起祷告
Heavenly Father Give us hearts to trust you in all circumstances
亲爱的天父请让我们有这样的心可以信靠你不论面对什么样的环境
Teach us of your infinite sufficiency.
教导我们认识你的恩典给我们用。
Help us to walk with you trusting and obeying.
帮助我们能够与你同行信靠顺服。
Through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
奉耶稣基督的名祷告。Amen.